John, you seem unhappy. What's wrong?
Oh my God, I can't put up with my parents anymore. They're so conservative. They always think that their ideas are right.
What happened? You just had a row with your parents, didn't you?
Yep. My parents are always complaining about my clothes and hairstyle. They think that my clothes and my hairstyle break the rules and norms of society, and ask me to change my style.
Really?
They don't let me wear ripped jeans or dye my hair. What should I do now?
I think that you should tell them that you only wear them after school and it's your style.
I've tried persuading them, but it doesn't work. My parents haven't changed their minds. What about you and your parents?
Well, I don't like the way my parents keep complaining that I don't help them enough with the housework. In fact, I really try my best whenever I have a chance, but I'm too busy with all my homework and my extracurricular activities. It's hard for me to find spare time for anything else.
I see. You get overwhelmed with too much homework and everything else you are busy with. You can't handle all of them.
You're right. Can you give me any solutions to my problem?
I think that helping your parents with washing the dishes, doing the laundry, or tidying up your home doesn't take too much time, only about 5 to 20 minutes, right? However, these things do wonders in making your parents happy. Why don't you give it a try?
That sounds pretty true. I will try to manage my time better.
Welcome to the program, Teenage Relationships. And the topic for today is teenagers' romantic relationships. Please give a warm welcome to our guest, Hannah, a 19-year-old teenager. Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And you?
Thanks. I'm fine. Let me start by asking you a personal question. Have you ever been in a romantic relationship?
I have been involved in one since I was in grade 11.
Oh, that was a bit early to start a relationship, wasn't it? Some people think that teenagers are too young to know what love actually is. What do you think about that?
In my opinion, love never comes with age. Age is just a number. I believe that teenagers are old enough to know what love means.
Some parents think the responsibility of teenagers is to study, not to love. From their viewpoint, love can sometimes lead to heartbreak, and they are afraid that their children will be broken-hearted when the relationship ends.
Well, that sounds pretty true, but life is a challenging journey with various levels of sentiment. Heartbreak after breakup may be a painful experience to go through, but it will help teenagers become stronger and make better choices next time.
I agree that it is not wrong for teenagers to start a healthy relationship, but it would be better if they knew how to maintain a balance between studies and relationships.
Yes.
It is also important for parents to have open conversations with teens about their feelings and relationships. Furthermore, standing by teenagers, being a shoulder for them to cry on, and helping them deal with ups and downs are essential. Thanks, Hannah, for the precious things you shared today.
You're welcome.
Good morning. It's my great honor to be with you in the series Life Skills. And our topic for today is, how can we raise children into independent citizens? To answer this question, we've interviewed Mr. Robinson, a homeschooling consultant, and Mrs. Smith, a mother of two children. First, let's start with Mr. Robinson.
For me, the most important thing in helping kids become independent is to teach them how to take care of themselves. From early ages, parents should make their children do things such as making their own bed, doing personal hygiene on their own, and helping parents with housework. In addition, building up children's confidence and problem-solving skills is a must. To help develop children's confidence, parents should always show respect to them and let them voice their opinions on family issues. Children should also be encouraged to participate in youth organizations where they have a chance to meet lots of people, face challenges, and work out their own solutions to the problems they encounter.
Based on Mr. Robinson's view, raising children's confidence and skills to look after themselves and solve their own problems is the cornerstone of the development of kids into independent adults. Now, we move on to Mrs. Smith. Let's watch.
My daughter is 13 years old, and I always make a list of things she can do on her own. When she accomplishes her tasks, I'll praise her and give her a reward. If not, I'll remind her to try harder. Furthermore, I allow her to make her own choices about individual things, such as clothes, books, and friends. However, I require her to consider everything carefully before making decisions.
Well, to let children do what they can do on their own is an indispensable part of motivating them to be independent. Besides, parents should always stand by children to give them encouragement and compliments, and remind them of being responsible for their decisions. Before moving to the last part of the show, we welcome your own opinions or suggestions about how to help children become self-reliant on our Facebook page and Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. See you next time. Welcome to Push Your Limits, a program about people who dare to step outside their comfort zone and change their lives. In today's show, we're pleased to invite Mrs. Christine Ha, a famous Vietnamese-American chef who won Season 3 of MasterChef USA, to share with us her inspirational story. Mrs. Christine Ha, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Christine, your determination to overcome your visual handicap amazed us. We're eager to know more about you. Would you mind if I asked you a few questions?
Of course not. Go on, please.
We know that you weren't born visually impaired. You lost your vision in your early 20s due to a chronic disease. How has this changed your life?
It changed my life dramatically. I went through a challenging period. I fear giving up my independence, no longer being able to drive, to shop for my own groceries, to cook, etc. As an adult, losing independence and being a burden to family and friends were scary things to me.
What did you do to overcome that time?
Listening to audiobooks helped me escape boredom and developed a passion for literature, which motivated me to get a master's degree in creative writing.
How did you develop your interest in cooking?
I didn't grow up with a passion for cooking. My love for cooking increased at college when I saw the joy other people expressed when eating my food.
What do you think enabled you to succeed at American MasterChef?
I did my best, cooked what I love to eat, and created my dishes with love and care. I think all of this made me the winner.
Has this experience changed your attitude towards your life?
Definitely. It has taught me to be confident in myself and trust my abilities more than I used to.
What would be your advice to a person with visual impairments?
You will go through a period of grief and adjustment, and it is okay to cry about it. This is all very normal and healthy. But after a while, you have to pick yourself up. Learn to adapt and move on. That won't be easy. But if you're determined enough and you really put your mind to work, you can achieve all things.
Wow. I'm sure that what you shared today would touch many hearts and motivate them. Thank you for spending time to join our show. We wish you happiness and luck all your life.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'd like to talk about the SEA Games, one of the most significant sporting events among ASEAN nations. Initiated by the Vice President of the National Olympic Committee of Thailand in May 1958, the SEA Games was originally named SEAP Games, with the first competition held by the Southeast Asian Peninsula SEAP Games Federation in Bangkok from 12 to 17 December 1959. Thailand, Myanmar, Malaysia, Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia were the federation's first six founding members, and Singapore also joined in 1965. In 1977, the federation agreed to include three new nations, Brunei, Indonesia, and the Philippines. In line with the new members, the federation changed its name to the Southeast Asian Games Federation, and the games were then known as the SEA Games. In 2003, the federation welcomed its newest and 11th member, Timor-Leste. The 2003 Southeast Asian Games, officially known as the 22nd Southeast Asian Games, was held in Hanoi, Vietnam, from the 5th to the 13th of December 2003. With 42 sports. It was the first time Vietnam hosted the Southeast Asian Games and the first time Timor-Leste participated in the Southeast Asian Games. Vietnam is the 8th nation to host the Southeast Asian Games after Thailand, Myanmar, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Brunei. That year, Vietnam finished on top of the medal table, followed by Thailand and Indonesia. From the early days until now, the SEA Games is still a biannual multi-sports event that is a means to help forge strong regional cooperation, understanding, and unity within the Southeast Asian community.
Good morning, class.
Good morning.
Today, we continue our lessons on global warming with a detailed discussion on ideas to fight global warming. Having been asked to prepare individual presentations, are you ready to present now?
Yes, teacher.
Who wants to start first?
Can I go first?
Sure, go ahead, Ming.
Hello everyone! Knowing that global warming poses a strong threat to human lives, we now make every attempt to cope with it. I've done some searching on the internet, and I've found some creative ways to combat global warming. The first idea is to turn carbon dioxide into rock-like building materials. This idea was launched by a team of researchers who want to trap and store carbon dioxide, combine it with minerals such as magnesium, and then convert it into rock-like products. The second idea is planting forests of genetically modified trees so that the greenhouse-causing gas, carbon dioxide, can be absorbed and trapped into the roots. This way, these trees remove several billion tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. Another cool idea is to place a giant mirror into orbit to reflect sunlight. However, placing a giant mirror or shield up to 2,000 kilometers in diameter into space would be no small task, because it would also be incredibly expensive and technically difficult. Even if we could figure out how to do it and how to pay for it, some scientists believe it could create different climate problems, such as global cooling. These are three among countless ideas on how to help cool down the Earth. You may find them somewhat weird or impractical due to the cost of implementation or technical barriers. So what can we, students, do to stop global warming? Global warming cannot be stopped completely, but there are things we can do to slow it down. For example, use less energy by turning off electrical appliances when they are not being used. Use the air conditioner less in the summer and your heating system less in the winter. Plant trees wherever possible to absorb carbon dioxide. Recycle and reuse whatever you can to lessen the amount of trash in landfills, as trash in landfills gives off methane, another greenhouse gas. Together, let's save the Earth for future generations. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Ming. You did a great job.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Helen Taylor. I'm really happy to be the host of the show New Vision. Today, we're going to talk about study abroad experiences. Firstly, I want you to listen to some experiences of two overseas students.
Hi, I'm Fong. I graduated from the University of Barcelona, Spain, 2 years ago. I still remember early days in Spain when I lived with a host family. None of my host family members spoke English, and my Spanish wasn't very good, so it was very difficult at the beginning. However, as I grew more accustomed to their way of life and started improving my Spanish day by day, we became very close. My host mom was the chef and owner of her own restaurant, so I was very lucky to try a variety of traditional Spanish dishes, and I also learned to cook some of them. During my time there, I also joined in some youth organizations and went on excursions all throughout the country. Through these excursions, I was able to see different parts of Spain and integrate with the local culture. I can say this study abroad experience was so fantastic, and I will never forget it.
Hi there, I'm Christine from Canada. I came to the University of Tokyo to learn the Japanese language 8 months ago. Only 2 months remain until I have to return to Canada. Indeed, I'm enjoying one of the most wonderful experiences in my life. This campus is surrounded by countless cherry blossom trees, and it has beautiful views, especially during the springtime. One of my favorite places to study is the library, because through the library windows, I can witness this beauty. The University of Tokyo also provides students with a lot of other facilities that have made my stay very convenient. The student hall, which offers a variety of meals and supplies at very affordable prices, and the international center, where all my classes are held and I can relax in a cozy lounge. Every day here is so gorgeous and meaningful that I wish I could stay longer in Japan.
Hi, Lan.
Hi, Tony. You look so happy. Do you have any good news?
Yes, my parents have just called and told me that they are going to visit me during this summer vacation.
Wow, how great.
Yup. This will be the first time they visit Vietnam, and I really want to show them around. I'm wondering where I should take them to. Can you give me some suggestions?
What about a trip to Ha Long Bay? Recognized as a World Heritage Site in 1994, Ha Long Bay has long been a famous tourist attraction for its beautiful scenery and impressive cuisine of fresh seafood.
Oh, is this the place where Kong Skull Island was shot?
Yes, it is. Kong Skull Island was not only shot in Ha Long Bay, but also at other heritage sites throughout Vietnam, such as Chang'an Scenic Landscape Complex in Ninh Bình and Phang Nha Khe Bang National Park in Quang Binh. If your parents love experiencing natural beauty of islets, caves, and complex geological structure, these are great places to go.
That sounds awesome. I have only been to Phong Nha Khe Bang National Park before, so this time I might visit Ha Long Bay and Chang'an Complex.
How was your trip to Phang Nha Khe Bang National Park?
This trip was so mind-blowing. I was really into exploring its caves and grottos and seeing the diversity of its flora and fauna. I also experienced trekking up some steep mountains, which are over 1,000 meters high. This was a bit challenging, but quite worth trying.
I haven't been there, but I've been to Ha Long Bay twice. During my second trip there, I enjoyed climbing up the top of Poem Mountain. There, I got a breathtaking view of Ha Long Bay and Ha Long City.
Oh, I'll try that if I have enough time. My parents intend to stay in Vietnam for 1 week, so I'm going to spend 2 days in Hanoi taking them to famous places such as the Temple of Literature and the Imperial Citadel of Thang Long. Then, we have 4 days left to explore Ha Long Bay and Chang'an.
I think 3 days in Ha Long Bay and 1 day in Chang'an are enough time for your family to explore all their outstanding features. You should plan out your itinerary soon because the earlier you prepare, the more enjoyable your trip is.
Thank you so much for your advice, Lan.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Alex.
You seem excited. Something good has happened to you, hasn't it?
That's right. Today's lesson was so impressive that I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Oh, what's it about?
Well, it's about smart designs from around the globe for ideal cities in the future.
Sounds interesting. Could you give me more details?
There are so many creative ideas, but I remember three of them the most. I will tell you one by one. The first one is the world's first solar bike path, a revolutionary project to harvest the sun's energy that could eventually also be used on road lights or charging centers for electric bikes.
Where does this idea come from?
It originates in the Netherlands, and the so-called SolarRoad bike path is made of concrete modules embedded with solar panels covered in tempered glass.
Is it safe to ride bikes on this road? Because on rainy days, the glass may be slippery.
Urban planners have anticipated this, so the glass has been given a special non-slip surface to prevent accidents.
Great. I hope this project will soon be applied not only to bicycle paths, but to other roads used by motorbikes or cars.
Sure. And the second innovative idea is a system of smart waste disposal in Songdo, South Korea, is the world's first smart city built from scratch and due for completion this year. There are no rubbish trucks here. Instead, all household waste is sucked straight from the kitchen through a network of underground tunnels to waste processing centers where the waste is sorted, deodorized, and treated. Eventually, the waste is converted into renewable energy for the community.
I'm wondering if this waste processing system was in use in my community. I would no longer experience horrible noises or bad smells from garbage trucks.
That will be the day. I have another innovation to tell you. I bet you will love it so much.
Really? What's that?
That is squats for free rides. This idea has been applied in Russia and Mexico, where the city dwellers can earn themselves a free metro ride by performing 10 consecutive squats at one of 30 health stations. The machine counts the squats with a motion sensor, then releases a free ticket.
What a brilliant idea to burn energy and get something free. I won't miss this if I have a chance to visit Russia or Mexico. Oh, My class is about to start. Thank you for sharing.
I need to go too.
See you tomorrow.
See you.
Hello, everyone. I'm James, a yoga and fitness instructor from Health Plus Center. Today, I'm going to mention some things you can follow in order to obtain the best benefits from different types of light workouts, such as yoga and aerobics. Yoga is an exercise that suits people of all ages, but if it's done improperly, it can be harmful rather than developing positive changes in the body and mind. Therefore, you are advised to practice it with professional guidance and knowledge. Yoga can be practiced at any time of the day, except immediately after meals, because doing yoga with a full stomach can discomfort practitioners and cause digestive problems. The best time to do it is after getting up in the morning, or at least 2 hours after meals. Before starting yoga, you need to do some warm-up exercise, such as stretching. This will relax your muscles and prevent any damage to your joints. While doing yoga, you should control your breath. It is imperative to focus on your breath and coordinate the movements every time you inhale and exhale. Breathing helps you focus your mind and relax your body. Remember to breathe in and out deeply through your nose, not your mouth. One more thing to consider is that you should never bathe immediately after finishing yoga sessions in order not to disturb the work of the hormones. Instead, spend about 10 minutes relaxing beforehand. The second exercise chosen by most women who want to burn off fat and be in good shape is aerobics. Before starting off, warming up the body for nearly 10 to 15 minutes is an absolute must, as it keeps the whole body flexible and ready for movements. You should always wear loose-fitting clothes when doing this exercise because it facilitates movement of legs and arms. Remember to listen to your body all the time. Do not exercise when you are unwell, and don't forget to take a break during and after exercise if necessary. Though it is important to push yourself to progress, if your body says no, you must listen to it and adjust properly. That's all from me for today. I hope you enjoy these tips. Thanks for listening. See you.